Broadcasting from Manhattan Beach and the World Wide Web, you're listening to CHSR, HealthyLife.net.
As a service to our listeners, this program is for general information and entertainment purposes only. CHSRHealthyLife.net does not recommend, endorse, or object to the views, products, or topics expressed or discussed by show hosts or their guests. We suggest you always consult with your own personal, medical, financial, or legal advisor.
Hello and welcome. I am so delighted you're here because you being here is a expression
you
of
are muted
to your own learning, your own growth, your own well-being. I know I do things for my own well-being every day. I try and nurture myself in various ways, and part of that is noticing what kinds of information I'm consuming. So like probably most of the other people in the world, I'm listening to the news and I'm watching pieces of information like that, but for a short while each day. But I also make sure I balance that, and I balance that with things like positive news stories. You'd be amazed how many positive news stories there are out there that are under the radar of the average person and the average news outlet. You don't hear all about them. But there are all kinds of really amazing things going on in the world in terms of conservation, in terms of ecology, of success stories in combating climate change, of human welfare in various ways. So make sure that you listen to High Energy Health and fill your life with positive, uplifting messages. As always, I request that you share the show with a friend, share our archives with a friend, share shows that you know might help suffering people in your world feel better. So make sure you use this for your own well-being and you share that with everyone else. Become a beacon of well-being in the world. In my book, Mind to Matter, I cover the research on emotional contagion, on how one happy, loving, compassionate, kind, wise person is contagious. They share that energy with people around them and the effect spreads out throughout their whole community of people. So be one of those people, and you're electing yourself to that role by showing up here for High Energy Health. So please join me every week. We have just an amazing lineup of fascinating people to share with you, and I'd love to welcome you to this community every single week. You're going to be intrigued by the guest I'm going to be speaking to today. His name is Michael Goddard. He has an MFA in creative writing from Bowling Green State University, and is the author of several books, A New Now, The Contentment Dividend, and In Search of Lost Lives. In Search of Lost Lives is fascinating. He actually describes how he was so unlike his family and parents, and he went on a search for meaning and purpose at a very, very early age, and I'll let him share what happened then. Michael, it's a pleasure to have you on the show.
Dawson, yeah, just a delight to be with you. I'm thrilled to be with you.
Yeah, and I was so moved by your account at the beginning of the book about how you said, I don't know where I got this curiosity from, because my parents and the religious tradition around me certainly had no great interest in these deep, profound, meaning of life questions that you found yourself asking at the age of like 6, 7, 8, 9, and 10. So what was that journey like for you?
Well, it was really about finding out who I really am. As you mentioned, the search really kind of happened independent of my entire family. It really started right after we moved to Marin County when I was 10 years old. And I started getting involved and trying to, out of the ether, somehow I knew there were higher beings I could contact. So I was doing automatic writing, putting myself in trances. I was searching. But actually, you know, I came in with this on the agenda. I had been an ardent seeker in several past lives. So I had been actually seeking very ardently lives before this. So we're all primed to come in with our specific destinies. So at an early age, you know, when I was 10 years old, I decided I wanted to search for the truth about life and death and see if I could attain literal immortality and a consciousness of eternal bliss. I mean, that was my mindset at 10 and 11.
Well,
pretty wild for a little kid in Novato, California.
It's powerful because research shows that, in the words of one of our other guests, Lisa Barrett, that spirituality and depression in teens, she calls them two sides of the same coin, and they find that teens who have some sense of spirituality when they're at that early age don't get depressed or much less likely to get depressed, and that depressed teens have very little sense of spirituality. And so she is really struck by the fact that in both mind and experience and also in brain function, that these are two sides of the same coin, and that when we hunger for those answers at an early age, it really affects the whole course of our lives. So I know you're going to describe what happened to you after that, and I'd love to hear what happened next in your own words.
Well, I went on a search, and I was like looking for the book that was going to reveal everything that I needed. And as I mentioned in Search of Lost Lives, my mother was quite a fine artist, and we would go to San Francisco and go to art galleries, and then I would slip away to a metaphysical bookstore that was on Sutter, and I would just pull down the books and skim them, and I put them back knowing that that wasn't the one for me. And then I was invited to attend a special discussion group in high school, and I became best friends with somebody. It turned out we were searching for the same thing. And by the time we were at university, we knew that meditation was an essential part of what we were looking for, and also being vegetarian. So I was a history fellow from UC Berkeley for my junior year, and I was doing transcendental meditation to kind of tide me over. But there were all signs along the way, which actually I talk about in my essay, The Grace of Shadows Heeded. These are all signs that I was coming on the spiritual path throughout my young years and my teenage years. And anyone can download that from my website, Goddard.com. And I was going to finish a novel I was working on, an experimental avant-garde novel I had started in England. I was going to spend the summer on an island in Greece, but I just felt this ineluctable pull to come back to the States. And as soon as I rented a house in Berkeley, I got a call from this friend who was on his way to India, and he wanted to come and see me. And as soon as he walked in the door, Dawson, I knew he had found what we were looking for. And I said, is there any book I can read? And he said, well, they're really not available publicly, but there's a slight chance you might be able to find one at Shambhala, which is a metaphysical bookstore that was on Telegraph. And I went down there, and there was the book. And by the time I read the preface, I knew that was it. But I had been primed, you know. People come to paths in so many ways. Everybody has their own unique path. So you should really never look to other people or compare yourself. You have to look within for what's true and authentic to know what is the next step.
Let's unpack some of the ideas there. And that's one of the ones which is different teachers, different traditions have different takes on that. And some do have a prescribed developmental path. Like, for example, if you look at Patanjali, the Yoga Sutras, and he divides it into four different books, and each of the books has prescribed steps, and you go through the stages of lower samadhi, and then you deal with all your samskaras and move to upper samadhi, and there are all these very, very precise prescribed practices. Mm-hmm. Other people and several other teachers of awakening say that it's as individual as the person, that there's no, like, it isn't like a curriculum you can study at university and become a blacksmith or become a doctor or something
yeah.
else.
Well, there's so many different spiritual paths. Particularly in my book, A New Now, which is really a guide to how to live, it's important, I write, to really define what you're looking for. Some people just want more peace and equipoise. I wanted something very radical. I knew about reincarnation from the age of 12. I knew it was true. I started reading Edgar Cayce, as a matter of fact. I wanted release from life and death, actually. I kind of wanted the ultimate, but not everybody's there. I mean, they're too attached to what they need to work out on the earth plane. So it's really it's all about being true to yourself and listening to the true voice within. But if you do want to go on an inner journey to the higher realms in the astral and causal world and beyond the mind, then you need a perfect teacher to take you there, because otherwise you'll be lost. I mean, imagine if you were in Prague and you had to walk to Irkutsk in Siberia without a map. You wouldn't have any idea how to get there, would you?
Yeah, so that's the other thing, is the other question I was about to ask you is that perfect teacher idea. And there are some traditions like Sant Mat, for example. I've got a few friends in Sant Mat, and they say you need a living master, living guide to guide you. And then there are people like Ramana Maharshi, who had no living guide, who just spontaneously became awakened at the age of 16 and spent the rest of his time, rest of his life in Arunachala and Tiruvannamalai, and then never had at least a physical teacher, and he was a teacher to many. So it's one of those other intriguing questions about the living master and these two chants.
I can never pronounce the name right, but you don't know what he went through before he took a body, where he was at spiritually. So, you know, whatever happened to him spontaneously, that was true and organic for him. And, of course, I can't comment on where he was spiritually. But if you want to go back to what I call Love Source, which is another name for Source or the One or God, I do believe you need somebody who's conversant with that journey, who's been there, hence the perfect living master. So it really depends what your goals are, actually.
Yes, yeah. And what we find, too, in research is that even people who don't have a master, they make progress, but when they're in the presence, especially of an enlightened being, they accelerate their progress. We find they make fast progress when they are in the presence of that person. And so go ahead and share. I know initially you were looking for information about your past life, and then you say in the book that you initially discovered four of them, and that was the gateway to many, many others. And in the book, In Search of Past Lives, you I didn't count how many there are, but there are definitely hundreds.
Well, I actually write about 88,000.
Okay.
And there's 71 when I was human and 17 when I was an animal. Those lives when I was an animal, the hurtful acts I did as a human outweighed the good actions. And I lost the opportunity to come back as a human. I fell down the evolutionary ladder, so to speak. But you can, you know, the great thing about this book is that for people who don't believe in reincarnation, it really kind of shows how it's true, because all these specific idiosyncrasies and aversions and talents I came in with, because I did a number of amazing things as a young child, like in terms of architecture and writing plays. They're all related to specific experiences in particular past lives. So I write a whole list of what was unique and unusual about me, and they're all related to past lives and so on and so forth. But you can really get a sense of my spiritualization. To be on my current path, there was a whole process of spiritualization that took place, going back thousands of lives when I was a woman with six children on another planet, and I had what I would call my first spiritual evolutionary experience. And so I write about those, and those are all intuited from higher consciousness. So, you know, people who think this is their first life as a human, I mean, if you're a seeker, you've probably had hundreds, if not thousands, of human lives. And this may not be your first planet. I mean, I call Earth the planet of hard knocks, because life is so challenging and difficult here. The other planets I resided on, the beings were, for the most part, more spiritually evolved. Life is sort of a kinder and gentler place in many ways.
So this is one of the more challenging planets?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. Earth I think it's the final stop for many souls to get through these life lessons. Certainly, because I know so many of my past lives, by far, but one of the most challenging past lives I've had, even though I'm so focused on, you know, living a spiritual life, just in terms of my nuclear family, all my health challenges, which have been extreme, you name it. But it's been a glorious life. I'm so grateful for it, really.
So where has it brought you to today?
Where has it brought me to today? Well, I'm just in a place of, I would say, virtually perfect contentment. and gratitude. I mean, this is why I think my latest book, which just came out, is The Contentment Dividend. And I'm not doing any specific press for it, partly because, as I mentioned to you when I contacted you, I was in a really serious high-impact car collision a few months ago. And I'm currently talking to you with quite a obvious concussion that I have. But, you know, if I hadn't been meditating all these years, if I hadn't come to this place, I would have been devastated by this car collision. I mean, I always kind of dreaded the idea of being in a car accident. I thought I would lose it. I'd break down. And believe me, actually, Dawson, the week before it happened, I kept seeing and feeling these dark, rumbling clouds on top of me with thunder. And I'm not really that surrendered, but I was asking, please, I don't want to be in a car accident. And sure enough, it happened on my way to a new endodontist. And, you know, I was hit full impact. A car ran a red light at like 70 miles an hour, hit me full head on. And after it, I needed help to get out of the car to kind of climb over to the other side. But after that, I was just totally clear-headed. I didn't break down. I was up. I was calm, into shock probably, but I was able to give a completely coherent statement. And I knew the best thing for me was just to go home and kind of go into a meditative state.
Yeah, you know, we find again in research that people in these awakened states have a remarkable ability to handle whatever comes, and what comes isn't necessarily easier than for other human beings, and yet they have equanimity in the face of whatever it might be. And that's one of the byproducts, I think, of that spiritual journey, is that you have very pleasing things happen to you, and you have displeasing things happen to you, and even if you have only pleasing things happen to you every single day of your life, eventually you die. Everybody dies. You get, you know, you have to deal with aging. So that's all of our lot. And so to live from that point of equanimity, where even disaster can't throw you, is such a different way of living your life.
Right. Well, the way to become detached from the drama around you is to become attached to something higher within you. And a lot of people, you mentioned Sant Maude a little earlier, well, they're very aware of what's called the sound current, the word logos. So the more you immerse your consciousness in that, the more you detach from the drama around here, and you're able to live much more fruitfully, efficiently, prosperously, really. And that's what really gives me contentment, I feel. So The Contentment Dividend is the latest book. I never imagined I'd be able to write a book like that. But there are 49 meditations that really reveal eye-opening, novel ways of understanding the teachings of the most exalted masters and teachers who have graced our planet. And it's written really very much for Westerners. The mind has such a hold on us, as you probably know, Dawson, that it's, for a lot of people, they're very close to spirituality, quite frankly, because their lower mind is predominant. And in Anew Now, I write a lot about and differentiate between the lower mind and the higher mind. Just a really minority of people have a higher mind that's predominant, that they work out of generosity and compassion and kindness more than going for the jugular. And so Anew Now is really a manual for empowering your higher mind and understanding how your mind works and how your mind generally can be your worst enemy if you're not careful.
Yes, and your best friend if you follow that advice. We're going to go to a break right now. Please stay tuned. You're listening to High Energy Health. My name is Dawson Church. To know more about Michael's work, go to his website, godart.com. We'll be right back after a break.
Have you heard the buzz about emotional freedom techniques, also called EFT or tapping? Millions of people have experienced breakthroughs in their mental, emotional, and physical health with EFT. Over 100 scientific studies show that EFT relieves pain, anxiety, and depression. If you or a loved one is suffering, download the free EFT mini manual at tappinggift.com today. That's tappinggift.com. Get your free manual at tappinggift.com today.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
Reach your health and fitness goals. Whether you want to lose weight, learn to dance, build muscle, or just live healthy, Beachbody gives you unlimited access to the nation's most popular fitness and weight loss solutions. Visit our advertiser page and click on Beachbody now.
Imagine your love life, your health, your money, your career, your spiritual path. If you had the ability to turn your dreams into reality, the people who have discovered how to do this are master manifestors. Now you can learn their secrets at mastermanifestor.com. They'll give you a 21-day crash course in intuition, synchronicity, and manifestation. In just 7 minutes each day, the experts at mastermanifestor.com will train your brain to be like theirs. mastermanifestor.com. Remember, freedom of choice. www.healthylife.net.
Hello, and welcome back to High
You Are Energy
Muted. Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church, and I love doing this. I love going on the show each week and feeling the community, the intention, all of the goodwill of all the people here. As we learn together, we grow together. There are always interesting things, challenging things, provocative things being said. And I know I make notes while we're going along, and of course I post those on the shows. And I learn, and we all have the chance to learn, to grow, to expand our horizons, and it's one of the delights of being a human being. So I'm so glad you have elected yourself into this group of learning, passionate, compassionate human beings who are part of High Energy Health. Welcome, and please make joining me every week part of your routine. For more on Michael's work, go to his website, Godart. That's with a T at the end, godart.com. Michael, I'm so curious, when you talk about this group of people that is here in the world and is part of this experience of emergence, of awakening, do you believe there are more of them than there were in prior generations?
You mean higher beings who are here trying to like raise these vibrations and create more peace? I think so. I mean, I've been really feeling for years that the forces of negativity, but also positivity, are getting stronger. And you have far more enlightened people. There's great more enlightenment, but there's a lot more harmful stuff going on too. So. Yeah, I agree with that very much. But you know, the whole thing is to really realize and tread your own path of peace, I feel, because it's so easy to get sucked into negativity.
I just asked that because the CDC keeps records of the number of meditators in the U.S. and the European Union does a similar thing. Through the European Union Health Project. And so we have data from those countries. Quite a few other countries keep data as well. And the absolute number of meditators increased about fivefold between 1980 and 2005.
Wow.
But since 2005, it's quadrupled since then. So there are now 20 people meditating today for every one person that was meditating in 1980, which is why I'm wondering if you see this rise in this number of people.
Well, yes. I mean, I started meditating actually when I was a teenager in 69, and I hardly knew anybody else who was meditating. You know, it's really unusual. It was really difficult actually to find vegetarian meals. Nobody knew how to make it. I taught myself how to cook with tofu. But the number of meditators, it's become part of the mainstream, basically. Absolutely. Yeah. So, I mean, the whole key, I can't speak strongly enough about the benefits of meditation, no matter what meditation you do. The main thing is to find the best meditation that resonates with you.
Yes. Well, that resonates, the style that works for you. So, let's assume that that's true. So we know there are more meditators. That's just a statistical fact. And we can assume that more people then in that conceptual framework of coming in to influence the planet, to learn, to grow, to share, there are these souls that are coming in here and engaging in spiritual practice. And you're also saying that the forces of negativity are increasing at the same time. So there's this bifurcation going on, positivity and negativity going on at the same time. Where is that going to take us in the next, say, 10 years or so?
That is a good question. And, I can't foretell the future, maybe, but fortunately. I mean, we're just going to have to see. I think things will get, particularly with climate change, far, far more challenging and scary. So the key really is always to develop your inner sense of knowing, your intuition, so you can be led as you are. Like, you know, you went through that horrific fire and had to rely, I'm sure, very much on your higher sense of knowing. So, I mean, in the middle of the night, you can have a terrible crisis. So, you know, from day to day, you have to always rely on your intuition and still know that you have a destiny to fulfill. And there are some major events that you can't avoid. You know, often, I mean, saints give the example of you have to walk on a bed of nails. Well, if you've got a good pair of boots, it's a lot more comfortable, actually. And the pair of boots is really getting the right size, the right make, and your boots are your meditation.
Well, that's a wonderful analogy, one way to think of it. One life, just to have you share. You share a life in the book about how you came to be a vegetarian. Was the dream about life about the man and the cow?
That was a very special life. When I was in Macedonia, I think, and I was an orphan with a younger brother, who we've had some very critical, wonderful lives together, actually. And I was just really kind of feeling out of him going back home, and this man was trying to kill this cow with just a knife, and he just kept plunging and plunging, and it was bleeding, and I could just see its agony, and it just, that's it for me. I mean, it was a real sickening sight, but I was vegetarian for the rest of that life, but it's interesting, being a vegetarian is really a challenge for a lot of people, and I didn't continue to be a vegetarian, except for lives when I was in India. Since we're on this topic, one thing I found really fascinating about recovering lives when I was on the planet Jorlu and Vizin was that virtually all the lives I was vegetarian on those other planets, Dawson. So I didn't become a full-time vegetarian this life till I was 20 years old. I wasn't one my last life when I was really a very ardent seeker, you know.
Do you think it's necessary to know anything about past lives or explore past lives if you're going to make spiritual progress?
I'm sorry, could you repeat that?
Yeah, do you feel that a past life exploration, knowing about past lives consciously, is essential to spiritual progress?
Oh, not at all essential. I mean, I think it's helpful. I do want to put out the proviso that be careful who tells you what your past lives are, because once I found I could recover my past lives and really go wherever I want back and forth in time, I had seen a number of psychics in my 20s and 30s who told me about past lives. So I looked into those, and none of them happened. They were all wrong. So it's absolutely not essential to know your past lives, although it explains so much of who you are today and where you traveled on your search. But there's a general rule in this creation that people are not, for the most part, meant to know their past lives. Because if they did know them, they would be in touch with all they had to suffer in the past and want to get out of here. And, you know, the spirit entity, the force that administers the physical, wants to keep all the souls enthralled to the physical world. Most people are just enthralled to their senses, you know, and it's a constant striving for pleasure and pain avoidance. They're playing in the riot of duality, you know, pain and pleasure. So it's fascinating to know your past lives, but not at all essential for spiritual progress or anything of that nature.
That's fascinating. We're going to go to a break right now. You're listening to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Dawson Church. For more on Michael Goddard's books and his work, go to his website, goddard.com. We'll be back after a short break. See you again then.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
You have too little time to shop, so try Farm Fresh to You. They deliver organic food the way nature intended, delivered straight to your home or office, economically. Visit our web advertiser page and click on Farm Fresh to You now.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use this superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
If you're looking for unique items at affordable prices, then you should try Dream Product. From apparel to beauty, from shoes to therapeutic relief products, visit HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on Dream Products, and maybe your dreams might just come into reality.
HealthyLife.net, where positive overcomes negative.
Welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm your host, Wilson Church. I love being here with you, and I'm so glad you're with me. It's a wonderful chance to connect. It's a good chance to listen, hear new ideas, new concepts, and apply them to your life. In fact, I recommend you watch or listen to each show with a journal handy, and you actually make notes and then see how you can apply these concepts to your life, apply these insights, these learnings to your life, and wind up with an action plan after each episode for how you can apply these things to enrich the quality of your being here on planet Earth. Again, for more on Michael Goddard's books and work, go to his website, goddard.com. Michael, in your books, you talk about suffering. And in the book on lifetimes and search for lost lives, you talk about lifetimes where you caused a lot of suffering. And you also make a point about seeing the suffering of those around us when you're in that perspective between lives. What is your experience in this regard?
Well, it just really hits you how you caused suffering, and I regretted it enormously. In the book, I write about the cohort of seven. This is the group of, we were eight, mind and solenities, who were really kind of on a journey, on the spiritual journey together, and we would reincarnate often together in all kinds of different relationships. But that was our opportunity to review our past lives and work with different spiritual teachers between lives, and then we would prepare for this life. But in terms of realizing suffering, I mean, I talk about one life when I was in Scandinavia, and I didn't really realize that when you kill an animal, like, that animal suffers and feels pain. And that was a part of my spiritual awakening in that life in Scandinavia. And then in the Southern Europe, I had a life where I had a daughter who made her smock dirty one day, and she was rolling around in the mud. And I knew how much work my wife had gone to, you know, do the wash and everything. So I made her stay in that. It was a cold day. I made her stay in that cold, muddy smock and go without her meals until the next day. And that action enough, being an overly strict and punishing parent, when you weighed the scale, it was enough to make me come back as an animal. And actually remember the animal I came back as. I came back as a skunk. And this particular skunk, I often had a very hard time finding food, going without food. So every action has a reaction. And that life of creating more suffering, I lost the opportunity to come back as a human and came back as a skunk. Now, my very last animal life, I was a cow. And, of course, cows typically are about the highest animal because they render so much service. But the thing is, to really be aware of your actions and to develop empathy. And you were talking about keeping a journal, which I think is such a great idea, and you gave the best advice. In the book, A New Now, I give instructions for how to keep what I call the journey journal. And you can download a Word document from my website, goddard.com. And that book covers the 33 wisdoms, the 11 loving wisdoms, the 11 guiding wisdoms, and the 11 evolutionary wisdoms. And as you progress through that book, which is really a manual on how to live, you can use the journey journal to note whatever you want to make that journal yours.
Do you believe, as some of the Eastern traditions claim, that when you finish with a life and you are no longer in a body, that you're doing something like a past-life review, and then when you are getting ready to pick up another body, you do something like a life plan? I know some of the teachers, like it seems like Taoism, have that kind of belief system.
Well, I do feel it's very individual. You may be on a trajectory where I think, that, you know, most people, you know, I can only speak for myself, And it depends where you are in your evolution. I do think many people will review their most recent lives and learn from it, and they'll make different promises or have different goals before they come into a body. It really depends on the individual's consciousness. I do feel that when you're hanging upside down in the womb, it's not a very pleasant experience. It's like being in a furnace. And depending on your consciousness as a developing baby, you can make all kinds of promises and whatever to lead a good life. But when you come out, as you get older, it's sort of like a cowl hardens over your head, and you forget that connection. So it's all very individual. You know, for somebody who does a lot of good works and it's just an outstanding human being, you can go to what we might call a heaven. It could be what I would call a bespoke heaven in a higher region and be there for a seeming eternity. Or if you do really heinous, violent acts, you can go to what people would normally call a hell, which I call a state of reformation. Now, in the book, I do mention 12 lives where I really lost it, and two of the lives I did go to a hell, and I described the experience and what I learned from it. The first life I recovered, Dawson, from another planet. I was a ruler on the planet I call the Zine, which is the closest approximation in English. And in that life, I caused the necessary war because I thought we were going to be invaded. And I caused the unnecessary death of over 600,000 men, women, and children. And when I recovered that, I just fell off my chair and curled into a fetal position and begged for forgiveness. But that led to going to a state of reformation for a seeming eternity. So that was a good way to become aware of suffering of what you caused. So you know, we're all part of the divine plan, which we really can't understand fully until we rejoin the divine. If you really want to know what the divine is, what the one source is, there's really truly one way, and that is to go back and rejoin that super soul, whatever you want to call it. It's nameless. It's Anami, without a name. So.
Yeah, and of course you can do that in meditation. I sometimes talk about meditation as being a mini recap of the incarnational cycle every day, because for that hour or 2 hours or however long you meditate, you're out there, and then you come back into a body. And then the next time you meditate, you're out there again, then you're back in a body. And so you're kind of reenacting this incarnational cycle with every meditation, and it's very, very powerful to have that meditative space then begin to gradually infuse your everyday reality, which, of course, it does after you've built up enough neural tissue to become a consistent meditator. So we'll look at more of these questions after a break. We're going to go to a break right now. My name is Dawson Church. You're listening to High Energy Health. For more on Michael's work, go to his website, goddard.com. You'll find the journal he's referencing there, and you'll also find information about his books. Please join us every week for the show, and we'll be right back after a brief break.
Imagine having a certified wellness professional at your service 24/7. Whenever you're stressed, anxious, angry, sleepless, or depressed, you get help the moment you need it. You can talk to a compassionate practitioner anytime you want at MyStressSolution.com. In the Stress Solution app, trained experts are standing by when you need them most. Experience a free introductory session at MyStressSolution.com. You never have to face your problems alone. Get instant help at MyStressSolution.com.
VMware is a fresh perspective for virtualization on the cloud. Shaping the future, this all-in-one platform delivers virtual cloud service on any cloud. Visit our HealthyLife.net's advertiser page and click on VMware.
Dawson Church's award-winning book, Mind to Matter, has been hailed as one of the best science and health books of the decade. Over 400 studies show that your brain has the ability to turn thoughts to things, and that when you use the superpower deliberately, you can create an extraordinary life. Mind to Matter is the science and practice of how our brains create reality, and Dawson is so committed to helping people transform that he's giving copies of the book away free at mindtomatter.com. Claim your free copy at mindtomatter.com now.
No matter what is happening on the outside, to make a difference, work on the inside. You are part of the fabric of life. Have a positive impact on yourself and others. Take a break from the dark side. Listen to the positive side of podcasts. HRNradio.com.
Helping other people heal is deeply satisfying. Watching a child's pain disappear before your eyes, a loved one calming down after a panic attack, or a veteran recovering from PTSD is a wonderful feeling. Imagine yourself with the skills and confidence to help people every single day and a rewarding career in energy healing. Taught by expert faculty, you'll become skilled in techniques validated in over 1,000 scientific studies. So get certified as an energy psychology professional today at www.newhealer.com. Your first course is free at www.newhealer.com.
If you want USA and worldwide car rentals, choose rentacar.com. Free cancellations on most bookings, no hidden charges. They are trusted by over 4 million customers. Visit our advertiser page and click on the Rent-A-Car banner.
Hello and welcome back to High Energy Health. I'm your
host,
Dawson Church, and I love sharing with you. I'm so glad you are loving yourself by being here, by filling your mind, your awareness, your consciousness with inspiring messages. Has it been an amazing journey so far? And in this next segment, Michael and I are going to explore some concepts that really are powerful and can be useful to you in your daily journey, so make sure you have your journal handy. And for more on his work, go to his website, godart.com. So, Michael, in your book, A New Now, you have what you call the 10 keys to achieving equilibrium. What are those keys?
Let me read through them, if I may, because, you know, I write and then I don't remember exactly what they are. The first five keys are trust your better self, prioritize your day, adopt a positive attitude, learn to know yourself, and eliminate unnecessaries. And each chapter goes through exactly what you need to do to achieve that. And then the second five keys are resolve your worries, balance being, doing, and having, find freeing fun, allow things to arrive in their own time, and schedule winsome relaxation. And I really like allow things to arrive in their own time, because I was sort of, the kind of A-type, AAA-type personality who wanted everything to happen ASAP. And it really, that chapter really empowered me to find a place of better equipoise and peace to really allow your life to unfold naturally rather than pushing at things to happen. And this really applies if you're on a specific health journey, if you're on a cancer journey, for instance, or a heart health journey. There are certain people you need to meet and interact with, certain regimens and treatments you may need to fulfill, and, when you get better, you'll get better, or possibly not. But the whole thing is to really honor your journey and listen to that still voice within. A lot of people give up their power, Dawson, when they're in the whole kind of medical industrial complex. And I've just heard of so many misdiagnoses and people have taken drugs for years that had nothing to do with their condition. Like my favorite client thought he had Parkinson's and he wouldn't even tell his wife, he felt so bad about it. And he just went to this one doctor he'd had for years and never even got a second opinion. So I read a lot about being on that health journey, which I've been on quite a few myself. And you really have to develop your intuition and listen to that sure, still, inner voice. And I love the chapter about, you know, asking questions. That's one of the wisdoms. Because often gaining this wisdom is about intuiting and asking the right questions to your higher self. And that can very much help you on your healing journey.
Yeah, and I know when people are sick, they do want to get better, and it eclipses everything else. There's a wonderful Taoist proverb that says, the healthy person has 1,000 desires. The sick person has only one desire.
they want to quit suffering and get better.
So it does tend to dominate our experience. And then, as I mentioned, we all have to face old age and frailty and eventual death of the body, and that might be a prolonged process or not. And so building your resilience before that point is powerful. So when you are then faced with that end-of-life journey, you have that equilibrium. What do, you know, from the perspective of all the experiences and understanding you've had, what end-of-life and end of sort of moving through the process of frailty and old age and physical death, what do you recommend for that phase of the journey?
Well, of course, I mean, that's, you know, for me, dying's no issue, I don't mind, is the getting there that, you know, is a concern, because you really don't know what will happen or when. So I'm quite an organized Virgo, so of course I recommend planning and making use of your best resources, and having a whole, you know, all your estate and your advanced healthcare directive in mind. But really, it's also focusing on what next. I mean, for me, it's developing the high. Desire is the juice that runs the creation, basically. So, you know, the forgiveness is really important. If you're harboring any resentments, any hurts, you want to forgive those who hurt you. Really, genuinely forgive those people, because you don't want to come back seeking retribution and revenge. So, to me, the highest desire is to desire God, to want God. And that'll help ensure your next birth as a human. Because really, we're the only species, I mean, the only species really that has the capacity to realize God. I mean, your dog may and your cat may look very meditative at times, but they may, you know, adopt certain yoga postures, but they're really, you know, they're not doing the meditation we can do. So, I mean, it's developing the desire to please God and advance, whatever you want to call that higher source of all-knowingness, and to advance further on your spiritual journey. You want to be grateful you've been given this human life, and pray that you've made best use of it, and really want, if you're going to come back and make even better use of your human life. And
yeah,
that will help you, because God, you know, with that orientation, God will be giving you the guidance you need. You'll still have to go through your destiny. You know, if you're going to have a heart attack, you're probably going to have it, which does not mean you don't live as healthy a life as you can and do what you can to avoid it. But having that orientation toward what I call love service, because that, to me, is kind of the best descriptive in English of that higher power. So always to be focused and oriented toward love source is really the best preparation for your end of life.
Oh, what a beautiful way to put it. It's been such a joy to connect with you, to share with you. Thank you so much for being here. And thank you, everyone, for being here as part of this wonderful community of support, of exploration. Make sure you tune into High Energy Health regularly. I'll be there for you next week and the week after. And there are also a lot of past episodes you can download as well. So thanks for being here. I look forward to seeing you on the next show. Till then, love yourself and focus on that divine connection that Michael has so beautifully laid out for us here today. All the best till then.
be part of the audience for my new TV show, Live with Linda, airing on Roku, Apple TV, Soul Search TV, and more. Be prepared for uplifting lightness, laughter, and positive energy. I interview celebrities, do an energy healing, tell, believe it or not, real psychic stories. Plus, you might even get to be in the show when I give audience readings. To get your audience ticket for the show and celebrity meet and greet, visit lyndamckenzie.net and click on TV show. Seating is limited, so get your tickets now. See you at the show.